Do you get angry or pout or talk back when your parents discipline you? Let's see if you behave like Matt did when his dad grounded him for being a half hour late getting home from school. Tom invited Matt to stop and play a new video game that he got for his birthday. Matt had completely forgot and that he promised his dad he would come straight home from school and help rake leaves. His dad had been upset because he had been late several days this past week. Matt slammed his books on his desk. "It's not fair," he muttered to himself. "I was only a half hour late. What's the big deal?" His dad had said that he would have to come straight home from school the rest of the week, and there was to be no screen time, no video games, no TV, and no playing basketball with his friends either. And he had to get his homework done before dinner. All through dinner, Matt complained and pouted and sulked, refusing to join in the conversation with his family. When dinner was over, Matt headed for his room. After that, there was a knock on his door, and his dad asked if he could come in. "I guess so," Matt growled. "It's your house. You make the rules around here." Dad was quiet before he spoke. "Yes, Matt, your mom and I do make the rules for our family. God has given us that responsibility as your parents. I can see why you are angry with me because you've been grounded." But Matt started to protest. "Matt, our rule is that you come straight home from school unless you've been told or asked permission to do otherwise. You have been disobeying that rule all week. I know that you think your punishment is unreasonable, but maybe it will help you remember that you're to obey us. Matt, we love you and we want you to learn to be obedient. But most importantly, God loves you and he wants you to obey him. God says we're not to resent it when we are disciplined." Matt's disobedient attitude, his attitude was wrong, and he needs to confess and ask God to forgive him for having that wrong attitude. And he needs to ask his parents for forgiveness too and accept their punishment without getting angry and learn to obey the rules. And today we're going to see God, how the Israelites disobeyed God's rules. So the people had watched Moses disappear up the mountainside when he went into the cloud to meet with God. He was gone for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat or drink at all, but God took care of him and gave him strength. God spoke to Moses during that time, giving him more instructions for the people. Then God made two stone tablets and personally wrote the Ten Commandments on them. God wanted his people to have a permanent copy of his most important laws. He wanted them to remember how much he loved them and wanted them to do right. Remember, they had all agreed, "Whatever the Lord says, we will do." But as the days went by, the Israelites became more and more anxious about Moses. They could see the light on the mountain, so they knew God was there. But where was Moses? Why didn't he come back? He had been gone for more than a month, but it must have seemed much longer to them. He hadn't taken any food with him. Could he be dead? Maybe he got lost or abandoned them. They were tired of waiting for something to happen. In Exodus chapter 32, it tells us that some of the people went to Aaron, who was in charge while Moses was away, and they told him, "We don't know what has happened to Moses. He brought us out of Egypt, and now he's gone, and we have nobody to be our leader. Why don't you make a god to lead us?" They probably meant that they wanted a statue of the true God, but they were wrong to ask for such a thing. They were acting like the Egyptians who worshipped idols and tried to get their gods to help them do whatever they wanted. Remember the first two rules that God had given to his people only a month before? They were not to make any image or statue as a god or worship any other god. Aaron should have reminded them of this, but he didn't. He was probably concerned about Moses too. Maybe he thought he had to do something to satisfy the people. He listened to the people and let them influence him. He told them to bring all the gold earrings the Egyptians had given him. Aaron melted all that gold and shaped it into a golden calf, which is a baby cow. Cows and other animals were common objects of worship in Egypt. When people saw it, they said, "Here is the God that brought us out of Egypt." Aaron placed the golden calf on a high platform where everyone could see it. Then he built an altar in front of the calf and said, "Tomorrow is a feast day to the Lord. We will worship and celebrate." Early the next morning, the people brought animals and other offerings to sacrifice on the altar. Then they ate, drank, sang, and danced around the altar of the golden calf as they had seen the Egyptians do in front of their gods. They had forgotten all about God's commandments. They had chosen to have a God they could see and touch, even though it could not meet their needs or hear their prayers or care about them. They had sinned against God and His laws. Up on the mountain, Moses did not know what the people were doing down below, but God knew because He sees and He knows everything. Moses said, "Go down now because the people have sinned. They have already broken the rules I gave them and made themselves an idol in the shape of a golden calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is the God that brought you out of Egypt.'" God was so angry with His people that He told Moses He wanted to destroy them and begin a new nation of people with Moses and his family. "But Lord," Moses said to God, "why would you destroy these people you have brought from Egypt? The Egyptians and other nations will say you are not great enough or strong enough to keep your promise, that you just brought them out here to kill them. Remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make this nation great." God knew all along what He would do, but He wanted Moses to have a part in teaching this important lesson to the Israelites. He promised Moses that He would not destroy the nation. Moses started down the mountainside carrying the stone tablets God had given him. Part of the way down, he met Joshua, his assistant, and they continued down together. As they were going down, getting near the valley, they could hear the people shouting. Joshua said, "It sounds like war." But Moses said, "It sounds more like singing to me." When they got near the camp, Moses saw the golden calf and the people dancing around it, and he was furious. How could they do a thing like this? No wonder God was angry. In his frustration and anger, Moses threw the stone tablets God made to the ground and broke them. He rushed through the crowd to the golden calf, pulled it down, and smashed it into little pieces. Then he ground the pieces into fine powder, sprinkled the powder on the stream where the people got their water, and he made them drink it. The water probably tasted terrible and made them sick at their stomachs. That was one consequence of their sin, a strange punishment to remind them they needed to obey God. Moses then turned to Aaron. "Why did you do this? Why did you allow the people to commit this great sin against God?" Aaron answered, "Don't be angry with me. You know what these people are like. They sin so easily. When they ask me to make them a god they could see, I just told them to bring their gold. I threw it into the fire and out came this calf." Aaron did not admit to Moses that he had made the calf, but Moses knew. He also knew that God, who is holy and good, cannot tolerate sin, and that the people who had worshipped the calf must be punished because they had sinned against God. The people had to learn how terrible it was to break God's law and make their own God. They had to learn that God must punish sin. So Moses stood before the people and called out, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come and stand with me." All the Levites came and stood with him. Then Moses said to them, "Take your swords and go through the camp, killing people because of this terrible sin." 3,000 men died that day. And after this, Moses said to the rest of the people, "You have committed a great sin, but I will pray for you." Then he prayed and asked God to forgive Aaron and the people. God did forgive them, and he did not destroy them, but he had to discipline and correct them. He sent a terrible disease, and many people got very sick. The people who were left had lost loved ones and family members. Many of the people who could have helped them later were dead. It was a hard way for them to learn that God means what he says and that people suffer when they disobey God's rules. God wanted his people to understand that his laws were for their good and that it was very important for them to obey them. And after this, the Lord said to Moses, "Carve 2 new stone tablets like I made before and bring them up the mountain tomorrow morning. I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets. And don't bring anyone with you, and don't allow any people or animals to come near the mountain." So Moses did as the Lord said, and once more he stayed on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking anything, and God gave him strength. This time the people waited for Moses and did not sin against God's law. They remembered the way God had punished some with death and the way he had disciplined the rest with sickness. This correction helped them to obey the Lord. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he was carrying the new stone tablets on which God had written the Ten Commandments. His face was shining with a wonderful light because he had been with God. Aaron and the people were afraid to come near him, but Moses called them together and gave them all the commands God had given him. God loves us, and he wants us to obey him. Learning to obey is for our own good, and he gives us parents and teachers and others to help us learn this important lesson. Disobeying what God tells us in his word is sin. Because God is holy, he must punish sin. Today, too, just like back in the Bible. Sometimes he has to use difficult circumstances or punishment by someone who is over us to correct us and help us remember not to do that wrong thing again. God corrects us because he loves us, and we should not resist or resent his punishment and discipline. How do you respond when your parents or your teachers have to get on to you or discipline you or correct you? Are you like Matt? Do you have a bad attitude? Do you pout? Do you accept discipline and recognize that it's from the Lord to correct your wrong behavior and help you obey? If you have been resenting or pouting or having a bad attitude when your parents and teachers correct you when you're wrong, you need to confess your sin. That's to the Lord. And you need to ask him for forgiveness and ask him to use all the correction that you get to remind you to obey him.